your sanctuary.
Singing unto him now.
Oh Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. I'll be your living sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. This to be a sanctuary for the Lord. And if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been reading in 2 Peter 1, and we also want to read in Isaiah 4. 2 Peter 1, Isaiah 4. Really enjoyed the services this morning with Brother Cesar, and was glad he got to be able to come and be with us and fellowship with us. And, you know, he's preaching right down my alley because that's what I believe. I believe we are the bride of Jesus Christ, and not just a quote, not just the books, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe we're the last Amorphe, you know, to be, and I thank God for that. Amen. And just remember now, the Lord willing, it's been announced, but remember the Bible study will be Saturday at 6 o'clock. Just come and be with us, and I want to thank Wade and Aaron for taking over while I was gone to Brazil on the Wednesday and the Sunday, and I mean gone to Jamaica, and I really enjoyed it, enjoyed the messages and all like that. I really enjoyed it, but we're glad to have Brother Don with us this morning, I mean this evening. Thank God, right? Yeah. We believe he'd be back with us, and we believe he's going to be to where he can come back and be with us every service. It's kind of rough on him, but the Lord will provide a way. So just keep praying. He wants to be prayed for after we get through with the service. So we'll do that and everything. And he wanted the elders to kind of all come down and pray for him, but we couldn't all get together. So he just come up here. So we'll get all the elders together to pray for him after the service. But thank God for all things. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the day and the hour that we're living, the time that we have upon the earth, Lord, and the fellowship that we have around thy word. We ask you now that you would just come among us, Father, and just speak to us according to thine understanding, because that's what we need. Thank you for Brother Cesar being with us this morning and the fellowship, and Sister Tanisha for interpreting for us, because we really enjoyed it, Father. We love you and we thank you for all things. Now, as we read your word, you come and you speak unto us the things that you'd have to be said unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter 1, we've been reading this scripture quite a bit, but we'll go from there and then we'll go to Isaiah 4. 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye be, shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. Now, just for a thought, just wanted to read Isaiah 4, verse 4 and 5. Now, if you read above there, you'll see it's the branch and the things that's coming out. But verse 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, now that's the bride, right? Daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the sight, a spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So then we see that there's going to be a dwelling place.
Amen.
That God will protect. Amen. And that he will keep us. Amen. We forgot to announce that the most of us know Brother Billy Andrews passed away. I believe it was yesterday. And or Friday one. Anyhow, just remember the family. Brother Billy was on up in his age pretty good. And all but remember the family. There, Brother Billy Andrews that passed away. One of our brothers. And many, many going on before us to where that we can know for assuredly that there'll be some there when we get there to cross over. So we appreciate knowing Brother Billy and the time, you know, that he used to run this old road right out here that used to be the old 23 highway. The only one you could go to South Carolina on was this road up in this area, you know. He said he used to run through here and haul liquor, you know, and all. And that's what I used to kid him about. I said, you ain't nothing but an old liquor hauler. And he said, well, I carry in the spirits now, but said it's a different kind of spirit. You know, but that we appreciate knowing Brother Billy. Now, I've been talking about the stature of a perfect man, and we've got down now, I think it's his message about number 7, and we'll title this The Dwelling Place, but I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying, because we haven't actually got to the virtues. We'll try to this afternoon, if we have time, and going into a little bit of it, and all of what we're trying to get at. But, see, I believe that you must be born again, right, before you can ever come to a position to be partakers of God's divine nature, as we read there in Peter. All right. See, then, this is not written to the world. This is written to those that are in Christ Jesus. And Peter was telling those in Christ Jesus there that were newborn babes, that would desire the sincere milk of the word, that were children, the beginning, see, and as babies in Christ, and he's telling them how to be a partaker of God's divine nature, or in other words, to attain under the position where he was at, because the husbandman must be first partakers of the fruit. All right. Now, so then, see, the first thing we know on the stature of a perfect man is what? You're born again by faith. That is the new birth. A lot of people believe you got to wait till you get up to the top of the headstone and this, that, and the other to be born again. Well, that's all right. That's their belief. But I believe what the prophet says. You're born again at faith. You grow up. And then there is a new birth to be delivered in the last days from according to Malachi 4 that Wade was bringing out last Sunday that I truly enjoyed. But see, we found that as a natural child must eat, you know, to grow, to become an adult, then the spiritual child must eat the word to become partakers of God's divine nature. All right? See, this must be done. See, remember, as you eat the word, you become partakers of his nature.
Right.
Now, then these things will be automatically added once you're born again. They'll be automatically added by what? Eating. By eating the word. Now, you notice I covered it one time. I put it like this. These are not automatically in you. And that's not correct. These are the things the prophet said that will be automatically added after you're born again and you receive the revelation of the Word. Not that you read it. Not that you just say, I've studied it. I've been in the message 20 years or whatever. But it's when the Word is revealed to you is only when you can become partakers of His divine nature. It's not something you just say, well, oh, I've got it. I was born in this age. Well, that's your idea, but I just don't agree with it. I believe you must be born again, and then you must grow in grace and knowledge up the stature of a perfect man until you come out to the position where the faith of the fathers were, you know, where it says Holy Ghost on the pyramid, but then the headstone hadn't come yet, and that's to come in the last days. But it can only come upon a people that are prepared. And that's why we must grow up, as we always say. You know, you don't give your keys to your child that's 5 years old and tell them to go drive the car to town and back. You just don't do it. You got to let them grow up to where that they can learn. You better not give it to them at 20, because the way it is now, it's you know, you might not could trust them at that age. But anyhow, but now listen. Now I'm just reviewing a few things that I've covered to make sure you don't lose the point of what I'm trying to say. See? Jesus was a display of what we call the virtues, you know, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, which is love. All right. He was a display of these virtues, but now watch. He didn't have to receive them as you and I do. He was those virtues. He just had to bring them on out into display. And so as he was learning and coming up, he was pushing out. Coming on out as he was coming into the position. But see, he didn't have to receive them. He was those virtues because he had the very nature of Almighty God. Why? Because he was God. That's simple. That doesn't need an interpretation. But see, we have to receive those things. And if it wasn't true, then it would be wrong there to say, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge. See, because faith is not an add. Faith is a birth. You don't add the birth. The birth is God giving it to you as a new birth, but then these things must come into you and I, and He expects them. I gave you a few of these quotes back where the prophet said, page 24, Statue of Perfect Man, said He expects us to have these virtues. It's not something that we're in the age of just, well, maybe we will, or oh, yeah, okay, well, this, that's for brother so-and-so, that ain't for me, you know. No, He expects us to have these things because He promised them for this age. All right? Now, if He's made it available, now what's the problem? Unless it's like Brother Cesar was saying this morning, people say, well, I don't need this or don't need that or don't understand, you know. But no, if God gave it, then He required it. All right, now watch the point now. Why would you have to have these virtues in you? All right? See, because that would be the only way you could be a partaker or to take part or a partner or a companion or whatever the word you'd want to use for partaker. It would be the only way you could be a partaker of His divine nature was to receive these things, and that would only come by the revealed Word. See? It's not just something automatic. You just, oh, I've got it, you know. No, that's not that away. See? It's when God births these things in you. See? That's why the Scripture says, being born again. See? You just, when you get born again, you just started. You haven't ended it. You've just started your journey. Now, when we go out of here in rapture, we can say, hey, we're born again. And that'd still be right. You know, because that's what we're doing. We're being born again until that time takes place. Right? That's where the prophet said, you Pentecostals made your mistake. See? He said, by you thinking that you got everything, in other words, like a Baptist, right. I got everything when I believed. See? Well, see, then that would throw out the growth development. But I gave you a quote. We're on the message, A Guide, 19 and, let's see, A Guide, priest, it's number page two of you, I mean, two of, number two in your notes, A Guide. All right. He says, the Holy Ghost cannot count the building of God until these things are operating by the Spirit. Now, when we get over to brotherly kindness, you'll hear him say it like this. He said, it's hard to have brotherly kindness, maybe like in a group. All right? Now, see, that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about here. The Holy Ghost can't come until we, you know, and cap off this, until we're in position and it being operated correctly. Now, individuals can reach the position ahead of others, you know, because that would be normal. But as a group, it's hard to bring these things in as a group. All right. See, because that's just hard to do as a group of people together. All right. You say, well, that's all right. You just say, I'm waiting on everybody else. No, I'm waiting on myself to get in the right place. That's the main thing. All right. But then I gave you one on positioning as a believer in Christ, where the prophet says that after coming into the body, then you're to be partakers of his divine nature. Not just say you got born again and you got it, you know. It's after you come into the body, after you get born again, then these things God expects us to have. And he made them available, so that means that they're for us. Now, how do we get into the body? We're quick to quote the scripture, but do we understand? We're quick to say, by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. But do we understand that the new birth is the revealing of the word? Amen. And that's what puts us in the body. And one member can't be contrary to the other member. Amen. Right? Because that would be like I was trying to cover about the DNA. Because off the top of your head, they can take the hair out of the top of your head and or your toenails out from your feet. And it'll all give the same DNA. Right. All the body of Christ is the word that's been revealed to the people that has brought forth a body.
That's right.
All right. See, we're in the end time. We're in the end time when it's required that we must walk into the position, someone must, and why can't we say that we're them, to walk into the position of saying, we are the body of Christ. We are the people of God.
Amen.
All right, now watch in a minute, I got something I want to cover over and over now. But now, on these things, the prophet said on blasphemous name, I gave it to you as number four on your notes there, said, that when your mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation.
Amen.
Now consider that to be each one of the virtues.
Right. Right.
That as your mental faith will become a spiritual revelation, then God can add that
right.
at each position.
Right.
All right, because it's a revealing of God's word. All right, now the prophet went on to say, Stature of a Perfect Man, page 16, number 5 on your notes, that some people have a portion of these virtues and not even born again.
Right, right.
All right, so let's don't get confused with the portion or the thing that he covered on page 21, blasphemous names, where he said there's two different kinds of faith, two different kinds of virtue, two different kinds of knowledge. So don't get the wrong portion are the idea that just because that you have a good nature about you, that means that you must have these things in operation.
Right.
All right. But now here's something I want to cover over and over, because it's what I see the wrong of even those that sometimes speak about these things, even myself in speaking of it. See? Do we, all of us, put these virtues and things to a position that we cannot attain unto? You know, do we look at it as something that is beyond us? Well, if we do, then what would be the purpose of the prophet bringing it unto us? Or as the brother said this morning, somewhere else, you know, later, one of these days. Now, some of these days, that's going to have to go to pass on one of these days, you know. All right. But now, do we think that we can't attain unto these things? Well, that just, I just can't do it. Well, I'll agree with you. We can't do it. Now, that's good enough right there. We can't do it. And see, it's not of us anyway. It's the revealing of God's Word that will bring these things to pass. Not just because we read that we must have it and then say, oh, we got to have it, so I got it. No. But don't put things out so far until you can't reach them. Now, this is the point that I'm trying to make. You see people that will say, I'm born again. I believe I've got the new birth now. But now, about these virtues and things, I just don't know about that now. Well, now, how did you get born again? Was it a hard, long, rough way of, or what would be the way of saying it? How did you get born again? I mean, what is it? Was it a horrible, hard thing to do? Was it something that you just happened to have maybe just enough goodness maybe about you until God gave it to you? How did you get the new birth? Was it some process that was very hard to be done? Now, come on, you claim to have the new birth, so don't dry up on me on that point. Now, listen to what I'm saying. How did you get born again? Was not it a simple matter to be born again? Was it not the point of going through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to die out to ourselves? Was that not the point of getting born again? Was it a thing that is so hard until, you know? No. It was simply believing Jesus Christ and letting Him take care of the birth. Is that right now? So it's not something hard or incapable of being able to achieve. It's something that's just very simple. It's dying out to yourself. It's accepting Jesus Christ. It's accepting Him as your Savior and not something you've done good. Yeah. All right. See, then if the new birth is out of way, why would the virtues be so hard to attain unto? Could it be that we're placing it to a position that we make it something hard? Make it impossible because, well, I just don't see anybody. What kind of an idea do you have? What are you judging by? In other words, what are you judging by to say that I don't see people with these virtues? You have to have something. Or else you would not make the statement. Right? What is what is the position we must reach, according to you, before that you would say, we had these things? I remember a certain brother, and I won't call his name, but he said, you know, I just bluntly asked him one day, because of the way he was preaching about manifestation and et cetera, as being the sign of salvation or being the sign of a manifested son, and I just simply asked him this question. I said, where do you think I'm at? Like that, you know. Because I wanted to know. I'm asking you. I want to know from you. Write me a note. Tell me you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do... write down what you think has got to be done before we can attain unto these things, and write down why you think we don't have these things. Because that's going to be my point now to try to make in the next service or two. Is try to make this point. If we make it too hard to attain, we're not going to make it. But now let's don't make it so haphazardly small, you know, until we just fall into it, you know. It's not that easy, you know, not that either. But it's a revealing of God's Word.
Amen.
So, where do you think we're at? Where do you think you're at? Now, you must have some reason to say you're in a certain place. And you must have some reason to say others are not at that place. So what is your thought then? All right. See now, by doing that, how can you put that into the prophet's message? And can you say, well, Brother Branham was here? Now, come on, I've been as honest with you as I could be with anybody. I've always tried to be honest with you. I was raised in a certain form of life to where that we didn't just go out and just kill this and kill that. And if Brother Branham would have asked me what I thought about what he was doing when he was killing game for other people, I'd have said, Brother Branham, I don't think that's right. I would have answered him that way. You know. But I wouldn't have de-Christianized him. Because that's the point we don't need to do is de-Christianize each other. We need, if I'm going to de-Christianize anybody, it's me.
Right.
Right. Me. Alright? See, because, you know, don't come around and ask me, Brother Dale, where do you think I'm at? I'm going to answer you back just as blunt as I can. Where do you think you're at? See, because it's not what I say anyway. That's between you and God. Alright, now, don't forget that point because I'll repeat it. Do we think we can attain unto these things? Do we think that anyone has attained unto these virtues? But let's don't make it so small until you can just fall over into it. It won't work neither way. All right. But now listen. Brother Branham said, now this is the point I'm trying to make, so listen to the point. When he's referring to virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, the headstone, capstone, he calls those things virtues.
Right.
He'll say these virtues.
Right.
He won't say this virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience.
Right.
He says these virtues.
Right.
So he's referring to all of the things that he's talking about of knowledge, temperance, patience. He's calling all of it virtue.
Right.
Now, I believe he has a reason for doing that.
Amen.
Okay. So that's what we're dealing with for a moment. Will be the point of what he's doing. But he calls all of them virtues. Read the book. I've asked you to read Statue of Perfect Man. Read Blasphemous Names. Listen to the tape or something to where that you can see. All right. Now, let's see why he used the word virtue for all of those things. Now, go back and read the message and see if I'm right. But see, because he was talking about a dwelling place of God.
Right.
So I gave you that on page 23, Statue of a Perfect Man. A dwelling place of God. And that's why we read from Isaiah. That God would establish in the daughters of Zion a dwelling place and would put a defense around that until it would be, you know, a great thing. See, promising you that it would be a dwelling place. And that's what I believe the prophet's talking about, don't you? That the Statue of a Perfect Man is the dwelling place of God. All right. Now, not that he doesn't dwell in you by the new birth. No, come on, he dwells in you by the new birth, but it's in baby form. But as the Word opens unto us, and that's why it's so important to preach the Word. You say, well, I just read what the prophet says. Well, I've made the statement before, and I'm not against people. That doesn't matter to me. It won't change me one bit. It won't change my salary one bit. If ever Church and the Message closed down and come here, I'd still just be the same. Wouldn't make no difference. Wouldn't change nothing. So I'm not trying to be popular, not unpopular. But I've made this statement. I said, show me a church where they're playing tapes, and I'll show you a backslidden group of people. I've made that public. I don't beat nobody about it. I'm just telling the truth about it. Where you don't see a live ministry standing before people, they can fast forward a tape and fail to listen to what Brother Branham has said about it. Because evidently they must fast forward it back where he says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. You know, but that's all right. And they must fast forward the point of the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. But that's their business. Now, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to make a point with it. The point is, not that we read the message, not that we hear the message, but that we become the message. Now, then speaking, as I said a moment ago, about the Lord Jesus Christ, he was just not someone that had to attain unto these things. He had those things because he was Almighty God. All right. Now, he expects you and I to have these things. And you know what that makes us? God manifest in another form called the bride. Okay? That shouldn't be any problem, should it? Okay. But see, now watch what I'm trying to get. What is virtue that would tie together a definition from the prophet of virtue that would tie together all of the things, and you could look at knowledge, and you could say, that's a virtue. Temperance, that's a virtue. Patience, that's a virtue. Godliness, that's a virtue. Because that's the way he said it. He was talking about these virtues. Alright? So then there must be something that we can look at the message and do it, and to see it. Now I got it rewrote here to say again, and I'll keep repeating it as long as I'm speaking on this. Says, cover this point. But as exactly Brother Branham said about these virtues, so that we can see that someone can attain unto these things and not say that we can never, any of us, attain. Because that way, if you make it the way he says it, it won't be so simple until you fall into it by stumbling over a log, but it won't be so big until you can't get over the log. It'll be something that through God you can attain unto. If you make yourself available. But if not, then the log's in front of us, right? All right. So turn over to about number 8 on the statue of a perfect man. It's the number 8 of your notes. Should be page 23. Statue of a perfect man. So just listen to him now. Now watch the point now. The point will be for a little bit because I may just cover this point according to how far we go. But the point I'm trying to get you to see is, why did he call all of them virtues? So then if it is, we can see what virtue really means. Amen. Then we can see that all of those things are virtue. What? The revealed word. Now the Bible says that what? I believe it's Romans 1:16, is that right? Where it says that the power of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Alright? The gospel, the revealed word, is what saves us, and it's what builds us upward in Him. So now what's the point? Page 23. Now here's what we do. What's the first thing? Have faith and be born again. That's laying the foundation. Then after we lay the foundation, secondly, you add to your foundation, add to your faith. Peter said here, add to your, first you have faith, Then you add virtue to your faith. That is the next column. First pour your foundation faith, then to your faith add virtue. Now, what used to be? Now, listen. What used to be your definition of virtue? See? Alright? What used to be your definition of virtue until you studied the statue of a perfect man? Or maybe just most that haven't really delved into the study of it. What is still your definition of virtue?
Right.
Now listen to what the prophet had to say. He said, now right there, not a lot of us down. Yes, sir. You add virtue to your faith. That doesn't mean living a virgin life. You know, like a man or a woman or so forth. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. Now, how many had the definition of virtue as a virgin life? We all did. Right? We all did. Because we thought it meant some kind of a chaste, or what is the word for it? Chaste, you know, condition of life. That we never had anything wrong. We never done anything wrong. We just walked in a place, you know. And then we'd say, well, I just don't see nobody doing that. Or I see maybe just one or two. You know, I see somebody over here that maybe is living a pretty good life, you know. But the prophet said, it knocks a lot of us down right there. Why does it knock us down? First off, because we don't realize what he's saying. Because we don't realize what he's meaning by virtue. See, we cut that off right there and go back and say, see there, the prophet said, none of us ain't living a virgin life. See, then you go into natural virgin and then spiritual virgin, right? Then you de-Christianize all of us and make us to where there would be no way to attain unto virtue. Now, am I right? Alright, but what does he say? Now watch his definition. But I like what he says about it now, so let's reread it. Now, there knocks a lot of us down, yes sir. You add virtue to your faith. That doesn't just mean living a virgin life, you know, like a woman or a man and so forth. That doesn't have nothing to do with that. Alright, now watch. Now you say, well then we don't have to live a virgin life. The prophet said it. Now he didn't say that. See? Now that's where we go through with what we want to say.
Right.
He didn't say that.
Right.
He just tried to tell you that's not what it is.
Right?
Alright, now listen to it. The Bible said, we read over here in the book of Luke where it said, virtue went out of him. Is that right? Now watch. And if we're going to be like him, we must have virtue then.
Right.
We must have it to be like him.
Right.
If. Right. Now he goes right on down. The next is right at this continuation. The first song that I ever loved in the hymns, one of the greatest, was To Be Like Jesus. Well, if I'm going to be like Jesus, listen to it. I've got to have virtue, and watch it, and a pace that I can pass forward from me to the people. Because virtue went out of him to the people. Virtue. And before you can let it out, you got to have it first. If you haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. Now, what is he covering? You must have virtue. He said Jesus had virtue and a price for it to go out. We're standing back in 1971 or 2, 72 when Brother Moak brought that out. What is the past he's talking about? What is the past that the prophet said we must have for it to go out? Now you're dealing with a great life. Now you're talking about the life. Now you're talking about the virgin living, or living a chaste life, or living a good life. Why? Because that's the price for it to go out. What is the price for it to go out? How can you be out here living like the devil and somebody come along and try to draw virtue out of you? Come on, is that the way he said it? He said, a little bee come along expecting that. He said, something wrong, it's not there. See, then now he's putting it in the correct order. The life that we live before others is what brings virtue into the position that it works. Alright? Now, if we don't live that life, then people will look at that and say, I don't see it. Then no matter what you do, they will accuse you of being an anointed one or something that can get things to going. Because what did the prophet go on and say? A pious fart from me to the people, because virtue went out of him to the people, virtue. And before you can let it out, you've got to have it first. If you haven't got it, it won't come out. There's nothing for it to come out of. What if someone tried to draw virtue out of us? The check would return insufficient funds. See? No. None there to draw from. Check bounced. Somebody looking at you as a Christian and tomorrow see you out there carrying on like a sinner. And not much virtue can be drawn from that. So now he's putting it in the correct order, right? Virtue must be in us until we get virtue. Then when we get true virtue, we can add it to our faith. There's the next foundation wall. All right. What is virtue? We'll get on over it in just a minute, where the prophet said, what went out of Jesus? Virtue. Strength. No. He said, not just necessarily living a virgin life. But then he turns right back around and saying that if we don't live the virgin life, no one will be able to draw any strength. Right? We won't be able to pull from that. Why? Because we'll look at what is being done. All right. Go on down while we're reading. Page 24, number 9 on your note. First, you must have faith. Faith alone won't do it. You've got, Peter said here, then add virtue to your faith. You must have virtue in order to add it to your faith. Now then, it might be the reason you don't have it, because many churches of today teach you don't have to have it, or the days of it is past. Now that's not talking about a virgin life, is it? Now, what do they say is pious? They don't have to have it. Only thing you have to do is just join church. Yeah, days are pious, virtue. Anyone knows what the word virtue means, see? And we must have it. If virtue went out from him to heal the woman that was sick, he's expecting the same virtue in his church because he was our example. And if he had virtue to give it to the people, he expects us to have virtue to give to the people. And what is virtue? Virtue is strength, power. Some of them don't even believe in the power of God. So now what's his definition of virtue? And that will tie together with knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. It's strength or power. Now, can I give you a definition of what is being said? He said virtue went out to heal the woman that was sick. strength, power, right? But now, listen. What made her want him to touch him? All right? See? If she hadn't wanted to touch him, I mean, would it just be because he passed by? Is it just that everywhere Jesus went, that he was walking by and he just brushed something and everything was just, it was just the power falling off of him? If that be so, why does the Bible say that he had to leave a city one time? Because he couldn't do much miracles there. Why? Because of the unbelief of the people. So it's evidently not that he just passed by and just brushed off. That little sister had heard about him. Right? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Why? Because she had heard about the things that had happened. She had heard of the healings and the signs and the wonders. She had heard about him laying hands on the sick. She had heard about people coming to him and God healing them and the things that he had done. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Now, where would that fit when the virgin life wouldn't be correct? So the life that he lived, coupled together with the things she had heard, or seen maybe, brought her to a position that she said, if I can just touch his heart, the hem of his garment. And when she touched him, he said, virtue went out of me. Strength went out. She got what she asked for. Right? But you see what I'm talking about now. See, let's just don't make it to where that it's something that we can't attain unto. But let's don't make it something that just falls over, you know, just everywhere he went and just brushed into a tree and the tree raised up and bared fruit and he brushed into a donkey one day and it jumped up and run off or something. That might have happened because he was God. All right? If he did, it happened for a reason. But get the point of what I'm saying. The connection between what she had heard about him and hearing that he was the Messiah and hearing that he had, that healing had taken place around in many places, it touched her faith. So now we've got it in the correct order, right? But now how do you think about the Pharisees? Do you think it healed any of them, or the ones in the temple? Did it heal any of those that he plaited the ropes and run them out of the temple? Did it heal any of those people that was beating him and the blood was splattering all over? Did it heal any of those? Well, see, don't make it just something then that cannot be attained unto, but make it to be that a life lived by the Word. Then, seeing that God had come down and done through this man, even as Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a man come from God, because no man can do the things that you've done without the Spirit of God being present with him. All right? But see now, it's not a virgin life. So it's not how good we are that brings about the word virtue. All right? It's the opening of God's Word that brings these things into our being, right? And it's the opening of the other people's knowledge maybe, you know, to see something. In other words, they had observed Jesus Christ. The woman had observed, or at least heard, of the healings and the signs and the wonders, the miracles that had taken place. And she had heard that he was the Messiah. And no one could argue about the life that he was living. See, putting it all together, she touched him and strength went out. You would have to understand and listen to me as to what I try to express. I can preach for 4 hours, it doesn't bother me. But I pray for one person, and if it's correct and everything and I know it's right, then I get weak. I mean, that's just telling you, but see, if you've never experienced it, you'll say, well, I don't know. Well, all right. I'm just telling it. Not to make nothing, just telling the truth. If you ever experience it, it'll do the same to you.
Right.
All right. See, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. But see, listen. See, then that will tie together as strength. Will tie together or bond together, cement together, temper together, all of these things to where that you can call them all virtues then.
Right.
Because what is knowledge? It's a strength that's given unto you. What is temperance? A strength that is given unto you because of the opening of the Word.
Amen.
What is brotherly kindness? What is all of that? See, it's a strength that's given. You understand why the prophet said all these virtues? Because it's something that's, it's a power of God that is present to do whatever we're asking for. But it's not living a virgin life. He said, that's not what it is. But he wasn't doing away with living right. See, that's what's so hard for the people of this message, to get them to see correctly, because when you say something like, well, I don't have to live right then. Well, go on. You don't have to anyway. But you'll answer one day for it. So will we all. But you understand my point I'm trying to bring. Virtue is strength. It was pulling from his life. Like Wade said there Sunday. He was preaching his life out of his body. See? Did you understand that? He was preaching, the very preaching he done was heading him to Calvary. I mean, it was preaching him straight to Calvary. Had he deviated from the Word anywhere, it wouldn't have took him to Calvary. So he was preaching himself right out to the end of death to give his life. Because that was the power that was within him. Now listen, then the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the strength of God. In all things we receive is strength. Now when you have a baby, see, Abby Grace is getting to the basis now that you can begin to give her just a little bit different from what she was. But even the beginning, milk or whatever it is, you know what that is? That's strength. The food you ate at lunch, what is that? It's the strength of the potatoes, the carrots, the meat you ate, the chicken, the whatever, see. It brings into your body some mechanical way that I don't understand, but it still does make you have strength, because your belly will fill up by eating cardboard boxes. But that won't bring, or styrofoam. Now that won't bring strength. That might bring a pump up real quick of the body because something has been added. The chemical imbalance balance in the body may spur up real quick, but it won't be long, it'll go back down. Why? Because it doesn't have any strength to it. When you ate the beans, you got the strength. When you ate the meat, you got the strength. Everything you ate brought you strength. It didn't bring you beans and taters and corn. No. It brought strength unto you. And see, that's the way all the things from God brings to us. It's a strength. And that's the revealed word. See, that's what it means. The gospel is the power of God. It's the strength of God given unto you. In your salvation. The more the child eats, the more strength it gets. But if you limit the eating, what will it cause? Malnutrition and death. Now, well, maybe I shouldn't say it, but that's all right. That's what I see wrong with the biggest portion of the people in the message. They're suffering from malnutrition. Spiritually. Because there ain't too many of us suffering much malnutrition physically. Even Joyce. But you see? See, that's why the prophet would call all of them virtues. Why? Because it's the revealed word that brings virtue to you. What brought the power of God through Jesus Christ? The word that he was, that they saw. That he lived, that he made manifest. You know yourself that you hear of somebody praying for the sick. And you hear that a lot of people got healed. What's the first thing you want to do? You want to go get prayed for. Right? But now, I've mentioned this a lot of times, but you know, it was said years ago, why don't you take somebody up to brother that preaches a certain doctrine and said, we've heard that there's a lot of healing taking place. Well, I offered to haul the people, pay the expenses. Right. And go let the brother pray for him.
Right.
But I'd sit in his office as the healing had taken place and said, I don't agree with you on the word.
Right.
The way you preach it. Well, you'd be just so stubborn to do that. You better believe I would. Why? Because word first.
Amen.
Yeah, but that's just anointing. Well, all right, then that's all right. That's anointing. Anointing is not word first.
Right?
They take you to another, if they give a sign and it come to pass, the Bible says, and they take you to another God, don't hear them.
Right.
All right? But you see, it's strength. It's power. It ties together for all of the whole thing to where that what we have need of is in the Word. How are we expected to receive these things or get to this position? Now, my point I'm trying to make to you is if we look at virtue in the wrong direction, then we'll de-Christianize everybody.
Right.
And see, that's why it took a prophet to be able to understand what they were talking about.
Right.
It took a prophet to be able to look at that scriptures and look at it in the correct order. What about when he gets up to temperance? Then we'll get to it. He said, now that's not stop drinking alcohol, but that's what we thought. It was some kind of a getting away from smoking or getting away from drinking or dope or something of this, you know, temperance. In other words, being able to kind of bring things under control to where we wouldn't eat too much or whether we would. That was our definition. But he said, that's not what it is about not drinking alcohol. He said it was how to control that temper.
Right.
Brother Dale, I ain't had a temper since the day I got born again. When I got saved, I ain't had no temper since then. Well, what are you gritting your teeth about? Just cross the person a little bit.
Right?
And you'll find out they'll raise up and you'll see a temper. Then they'll say, my Holy Ghost temper got roused up for what it was. Yeah. I just righteous indignation rose up in me. Yeah. You couldn't have found. Now listen. Now I hope to God this will come out correctly, because I'm going to try to stay to this point and not cover the other. You couldn't have found a greater or a better acting person than, say, Nicodemus or Gamaliel. Is that true? I mean, if there was any mark against Gamaliel, the high priest, he would have been killed. He must have been a wonderful guy. You know, Jesus talks about the Pharisees and the thing. Who was it was with you and blessed your babies, you know, when that's born? Who give you money when you needed it? You know, paraphrasing Jesus, talking about the Pharisees. And here he's running them out of the temple. Here he's calling the great Pharisees, the great ones that are so wonderful in their life, that have such a virgin life. He said, you snakes. Coming right with John? Would you have ever thought that those were nice guys? What if you'd have been there in the days of John, when John was screaming like everything about it to the people? New generation of vipers. But that's my priest. He lives a good life. He's a good person. We don't know of anything he ever does wrong. Is that right? But it's like Brother Burley said the other day. When Jesus finally talked to Gamaliel, the high priest, whatever his name was, I get them all mixed up. But when he began to tell him that, you're not the high priest, I'm the high priest, he got so mad that he ripped his garment off of him. Now, he got pretty well upset. But up until that time, they probably wouldn't, nobody had ever seen the man with any temper, any problems. He was the kind old priest, you know. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, everything's fine. Well, we all got problems, you know. We, you know, who can throw off on anybody else? Well, just be kind to one another, loving to one another. Now, you know I'm not throwing off on that kind of a life. Now, Jesus wasn't throwing off on that kind of a life. What was he dealing with? He said you washed the outside. Now, come on. Is that right? But he said the inside of you is what's messed up, boys. He said you've got it out here. Now, he wasn't throwing off on them. When the who was it, the rich young ruler that come to him and asking him, he loved him. Because he knew he was telling the truth. All these things I've done since my youth. A good person. But just remember the statement of the prophet, hell will be full of good people. It's not our goodness that keeps us out of hell. It's his goodness. Right? But it don't give us a right to throw off. And Jesus didn't throw off. He didn't turn around and say, you people ain't living right. He told them, you wash the outside. I said, the inside is dead man's bones. But they got so mad at him, what'd they do? They killed him. Right? Because you see, evidently, his life didn't match up with the word. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. Don't get me wrong. His life didn't match the interpretation they had of the word like their lives matched the interpretation. Because they told him, said, we weren't born of fornication, buddy. Come on. See? Their lives were good lives. And I'm sure a lot of people touch, you know, receive from God by the looking at the virgin life that was being lived by those Pharisees and things. But when they come into the face of Jesus Christ, what were they? Proved there's something wrong on the inside, right? But see, we're talking about a temple.
Amen.
A dwelling place.
Right.
I gave you one on page 24 where he said it like this. Number 10 on your note. Now Peter's talking about building a house of God. See, the temple of God. Fixing it to a place. And after you have virtue, and you must have, after you have faith, you must have virtue with it. Then right, have virtue for the whole world. Now, he's not disconnecting the virgin life. Right? He's not saying that not to live a correct life. But he's telling us that if the life is lived without the new birth within us, then it's what we were talking about a while ago on blasphemous name and statue of perfect man. Some people have a portion of these things without being born again. And the blasphemous names where he said they two different kind of faith, two different kind of knowledge, two different kind of patience. What was the prophet trying to get us to see? Building a house, a dwelling place for God.
Right.
To come and live in us. Because
right.
That's what he always wanted. He's talking about a house back there. He said, I don't want that. They built me a house, but that's not a house of my rest. He was talking about coming and living in a people. They would have the new birth. And then could come into these things of a strength that God could add. As I said about eating, do you understand what I'm saying now? We'll bring it to a close. As a baby eats, as a human eats, it brings strength into the body.
Right.
Now so is it with all of the virtues. That is strength, whether you say it's knowledge or temperance or patience, or it's strength brought into the body by the revealed word. And bringing it, but just like I'm saying now, see, we get it to the point that we look at it and we say, well, and you can't understand why a prophet would say, temperance is not that you don't drink alcohol, but it's control your temper. But I ain't never had a temper. When I got saved, I lost my temper. I didn't mean that exactly the way it came out, because that's what, but I said it anyway. Because that's what we call it, losing our temper. You know. But listen. Do you understand why the prophet used all of them as virtue? That's my point. That's my whole thing. And do you understand that I'm trying to say, don't think that we can't attain. Because if nothing, if you didn't take but the one on temperance, and he says you got a temper. You got a problem. But us Christians don't have tempers. We're not supposed to have those uncontrollable tempers. Right? We're not supposed to have any temper at all, period, but we know we do. No, that's my drastic indignation gets all stirred up. Yeah. Make sure you bring back these quotes, because I hope we don't have to run off a bunch of extras, because I just gave you the things the prophet was saying through brotherly kindness. And we'll get to that, the Lord willing, Wednesday. And be taking this thought on and get into the virtues. But do you understand what virtue is? It's strength.
Right.
Strength comes by the revealed word.
Right.
That's how we get our strength. That's how we get our position to where we can get rid of our temper. How that we can get knowledge. How that we can have patience. And not do it as we even think the Bible says. Tribulation worketh patience. That's not the kind that it's talking about like that. Heard a man say one time, he said, I tell you what, I never did have it, nor did I thought I was a Christian until I read one day where that the Christians have troubles, and said, I have so many troubles, I must be a Christian. Okay. I didn't answer him. He was saying it to me, and I didn't answer him, but I thought, now what about all these people got real bad troubles? And you think you've been through troubles, what about all these people got real bad ones? Are they Christians, you know? And all, but do you understand? Read what the prophet says. He says we need patience. Right? When I got born again, I got all patience, I got all these things in me. See, that's what people are saying. They're saying, when I got born again, I got all these things. Then the other groups are saying that we don't have these things until we get up to the headstone. See? So now both of them's incorrect, see? But we do, as human beings, have problems. And then we look at each other and say, well, you're not a Christian. Upon what basis do you judge that? See, because remember one thing. The Bible says whatever you judge with will be judged back, meted, judged back. That's the way you'll be judged. So be careful what you say about somebody. Be careful what you say about them, because you can be taking an accusation against somebody that, it doesn't matter, that don't have to deal with the ministry now. That's deal with anybody. You take an accusation against somebody that's not true, you got a problem. You need to check out, see whether the accusation is correct. But now if I do the wrong, if I go out and do wrong, and you go tell what I done, that's not tearing down my influence. I am the one that's tearing down my influence. I go out and I get drunk and things, and you go tell people, well, Brother Dale got drunk. If I done that, I destroy my influence. You're telling the truth. But if you go tell that I done it and I didn't do it, see, then you got a problem. So make sure the accusations is correct. Make sure the thought's correct. And don't look at somebody else. Look at what God says. I'll tell this and end on it, and we'll get ready for the... We want Brother Don to come up first, and then we'll pray for him, and then we'll go into the communion foot washing. But some of you remember Sister Reba Holland. It's Brother Robert Holland, you know, his wife. And Peggy had a dream about her one time. And in the dream, she was like making a race or doing something. I don't remember. It was whole point of the dream, but I remember part. That she was like going somewhere. Well, then Reba just beat her there. That was just a dream, you know. All right. That's up to God whether or not he brings her to that position to fulfill the dream, or whether he was using that dream to show Peggy something. See? All right. That's up to God. That's not, we're not trying to judge. But if you looked at her condition of existence today, you would say, well, she's not in no race of running. But maybe that was what God was wanting us to see. To where I could tell the dream. To where I could say that maybe sometimes we look down on others when we're judging them on one set of eyeballs and God is looking at them from another set. Yeah. But now, like I said, I mean, I could stand here this afternoon and I wouldn't have any problem telling you what she has done. I don't mean to throw off on her. I mean, I wouldn't be throwing off on her to tell what she has done, see? That wouldn't be the point. I would be telling the truth. But then for me to say, she can't be saved, now then I've made my judgment. And the person you're judging that by might beat you there. And it might be you and I that gets embarrassed when we get there to find out some are ahead of us. All right? I've told you years ago about it. There's one sitting right back there. That I told years ago, and they said, well, he's gone away. I said, he will be back. And I made the statement about some others that I'm still waiting on. Amen. But Brother Don's here. Amen. But a lot of people say, well, Brother Don don't have an opportunity because he's done too much wrong. Now you judged with your own meeting. It's judged back to you what you will get. But for me to stand here all afternoon, Brother Don wouldn't get mad at all for me to tell you what he done. He'd get up here and tell you yourself what he done. Because he's an honest person, he'd tell you, this is where I messed up. You see my point? The point is, if we look at these things in the wrong direction, we cannot attain. But if we look at them in the direction God gives it, He has already made a way for these things to be done.
Right.
He expects us to just walk into it. Right. And to pray and study. Right? Well, let's stand. Brother Don, come on and let's. He wants the elders to come together, so let's get the elders together and all come down. Brother Harris, Brother Thomas, Wade, all the ones, Dean, a lot of you, just elders. I don't, elder doesn't mean old. It just means one season in the gospel.
Right.
All of you come down here. Every man in here come down here on too, and all the sisters too. Because, you know, we're not talking about something
That's right.
But we want to pray and believe that God will touch our brother and bring him out of this place.
Right?
Yeah. Right?
Right.
And see, then when we look at it, I look at it this way. I'm always that way.
Right.
If what I pray doesn't come to pass, I look at wonder why.
Right.
Why is it that it hasn't come to pass?
Right. Right.
And I don't look at the other people to try to it's their problem. You know, their troubles. They're the one that caused it. Now, if you start that attitude,
right. All
right,
hallelujah.
See, then you ought to realize who the problem is.
Right, right.
You ought to realize the problem is in you.
Right.
But let's just believe. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Can everybody hear what he's saying? He wants to rededicate his life. He said he's been away from the Lord. He wants to rededicate. He wants to be refilled with the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
This man sat under Brother Brown's ministry. Hauled him. As a matter of fact, the tapes. I know the whole story in the line and the backup. He and Billy Fowler was basically in the beginnings of the ones that would go by the tabernacle and pick up the tapes and bring them home to where the people in this area could be able to listen to Brother Ram's tapes. But see, when you walk away, then there's a way back.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
So let's believe. But let's believe and thank God for what He wants to do.
Right.
And ask God to receive Him. We as a church receive Him.
Amen.
All right. And ask God to receive Him. And then to fill Him with His love, but to touch His body.
Right. Amen.
All right? To touch His body. So let's just pray and let's believe. All right? Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our brother has come asking for forgiveness of his sins that he's done in his life and the way that he has went away from you. And we thank you that you said if we would confess our sins, that you would just to forgive them. And Lord, we ask you to fill him with your Spirit and to refill him, Lord, with your love. Because, Father, he said he got away. We believe that you will make it manifest unto him. And that you will bring out all of the things out of him that's not worthy. And to make him what you want him to be. Now, Father, we come to the basis of believing for the body. You said in your word, any sick among you, call for the elders. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sin, it'll be forgiven them. So we believe your word. And we ask you now to just deliver our brother and bring him up out of this condition of the wheelchair and the arm to where it won't work. And Father, we love you and we believe you and we thank you. And we commit it now into your hands in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, believing your word, Father. Amen and amen. 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 Amen and amen. I believe it. I believe it. Anybody else want to be prayed for before we go into the communion? Just wait up, brothers, and just wait and we'll pray with our brother. Anybody else coming? Let's just pray together before we go into the communion and believe and accept it. Amen. Our brother wants a rededication of his life. Amen.
Amen.
So, all right, brothers, come on. Father, we thank you for our brother. That it took a long time to find him in the right place, and he's been around and tried to search for you, but now he's come to find you, and he's come to find you in the basis that he wants a rededication of his life. And we believe you, Father, and we thank you. Thank you for that desire that he'd have. And Lord, the desire to hear your word and to walk forward in you. And we believe you, Father, and we thank you. We love you, and our brother loves you, because we're all together as one in you. Now we count this as a blessing from you, Father, that our brother would do as you said, because blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we believe it. Amen. 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 He wants to dedicate himself to God. Right? Amen. So let's just believe it. Father, our brother wants to bring to you a rededication of his life. He's walked with you a long way, Father. And he wants to now dedicate himself totally to you. And we thank you that, Father, you would give a desire in a heart of an individual to want to walk after you. It has to be you, Father, because we know that the human mind is not according to that. But Lord, those that you deal with them in the way that you do in life, and they will come to an understanding about you. Our brother brings his life now to lay it before you upon the altar. And we ask you to accept him, Father, and to give him back, Lord, the love and understanding of the Spirit of Almighty God to dwell with him and to walk with him, Father, as he goes forth. And let all see then that life that he sees and see something happen. And he's brought his life back to you, Father. We love you, and we thank you. We commit it all to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Our brother wants to rededicate his life, all right? Come on, brothers, and just lay hands on and believe. Father, our brother comes to rededicate his life unto you, Father. And we believe you, Father, that you'll receive, because you said that if we have a hunger in our heart, then there's got to be something that caused that hunger. There can't be a fish wouldn't be no good without water for it first to be in. And there can't be a desire in our heart if there's not something in you that's pulling and guiding, Father. And we ask you now to just come and be to our brother what he has need of. And you just receive him, Father. Forgive him and bless him and guide him, Lord, as he rededicates himself unto you. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. 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 Our brother wants the virtues. What about that? What about it in all of us? Right? Father, you heard our brother. He wants these virtues made manifest in his life. He's heard the word. He's been a long time in walking in the word. He has a great head knowledge of thine understanding. So now transmit that by the Holy Spirit down into his soul and the being that he is, to where that it can be quickened and made alive and bring forth these virtues that we, Lord, we can all stand back and look and say, I see it. I see it at work. I see it manifesting itself. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We commit it all now to you and believe in you that you'll make it manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Our brother says, me too. That's the way to be. What we need, we have, know what we have need of, just me too. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother, believing you, Father, that he has walked with you, Lord, and come through a lot of heartaches and troubles with his body and things that Satan has fought him, but it's brought him closer to you instead of dragging him away. When it would be easy to fall away, but yet he keeps coming back, keeps walking with you. Sure, he's had problems and troubles, but yet, Lord, he keeps following after you. And now he says, me too. So that's exactly the way we all are. We desire more of you. We desire of these virtues to be made a manifestation in our lives, our hearts, that we can be what you want us to be, and that others can see Christ, Lord, in us. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Anybody else? Our brother wants to rededicate his life. Father, you heard our brother. You said you would hear an honest and a contrite heart. So we thank you. And our brother, Lord, he comes to bring his life, to lay it on the altar before you, to rededicate it unto you. Because it was dedicated at one time, but now he's coming back wanting it to be rededicated, Father. And we love you and we thank you. And we ask you to just touch him now. And that, Lord, that you'll show him the manifestation of yourself through him. We love you and we thank you. And have your way with him in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. 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 And amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Our brother wants to just bring his life before the Lord, dedicate it to him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for a brother that has walked and seen what our brother has seen. He's seen the prophet. He's seen the days of the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And Lord, he's walked with you for many, many years. Now, he comes to bring his life back before you, Lord, because he's not satisfied with it. And Father, that's a great thing in each and every one of us, that we're not satisfied with our lives. We want to be what you want us to be, Father. And we just lay our hands, our believing. And Lord, we thank you. And we agree with our brothers and our brother here that you will bring this, Lord, back unto him the days. As David said, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you. Amen. 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 Amen and amen. Anybody else? Amen. All right. Our brother wants a deep rededication, but healing for his body too. Lord Jesus, we lay our hands upon our brother, with our brothers here, agreeing with our brothers, and believing that by your stripes our brother is healed. And we condemn any physical sicknesses that's upon our brother. Through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we condemn it. And now, Lord, we bring our brother before you as to rededicate his life, to bring to you, Lord, and rededicate it unto you, Lord, that he would be what you want him to be. Thank you, Father, for our desire in our brother's heart to be that way. And we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Amen. All minds clear then? Amen. Okay, brothers, you know. Okay. If you'd like turning your scripture to, go ahead, you're in Aaron, I think. It's already ready, but go ahead. Turn to scriptures in Corinthians that we'll read and have our communion. It's a wonderful time. Wonderful day that we can live. There's a wonderful opportunity to realize that a lot of people are wanting to rededicate. See, that's my desire, to rededicate my life to the Lord. See, to stop these things of the devil bombarding me in every form, you know, and the mind and things of trying to hinder us and you know, make it to be. But, you know, I just pray that that we'll understand that a little something has come up. I won't say it much on the internet, but something has come up that I'm having to answer back to. And as quick as I get through with the answer back, I will tell you. And it's not no problem. It's just something that somebody wrote to me. And he kind of condemned the way we do things. But that's left up to we'll see what the Lord says about it and everything. We'll give our answer back. But we appreciate the Lord for what he can do and to bring us to the right place, all right? Amen. And keep our hearts and our desires in the right place, all right? 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, now I love this, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. See, we say, oh, I don't want to be chastened of the Lord. I want him to chasten me to make sure I'm in the right place. I see, what did the prophet said, Lord, what was the word he used? Shear me, I believe he was.
Right.
I believe the word he used. Said, Lord, shear me again. Said, you done it one time back there. Right. He was talking about his wife and children and losing and problems related to it. He said, and shear me again, Lord.
Right.
You know. We're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together, come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come.
Amen.
Let's just have a moment of silent prayer, just praying and praying one for another, praying that God would be with us and bless us and guide us and everything in his leadership. Amen. Father, we love you and we thank you. We commit all things into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's been made for this purpose today of, Lord, for being what we call the Lord's Supper. And Father, none of us here in this building are worthy to partake of this because of what it means. It is not a reality of a body and blood, but it is a symbol. But we have no right to receive this except by you making us into the position to where that you would make us worthy. So we ask you now to just sanctify the food and the partakers, and it represents the word, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it. We ask you to sanctify all of our bodies that we may be partakers of you. And guide us now in Jesus' name. What a wonderful opportunity to realize realization. You know that a lot of people today will be doing what we're doing and believing that that's a literal body and a literal blood, you know, and things. A lot of people won't be doing what we're doing because they think it's all over, all finished, don't need to do it anymore. But we just don't go along with it because I just happen to believe what the Lord said. He said, do this till I come. Well, when his coming is finished, then the first thing will be the communion. And that'll be in glory.
Amen.
And he'll serve us the communion. So it'll be a wonderful time, won't it? Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Father, this wine represents your blood that was shed for each and every one of us. And in that blood was the life of Almighty God. And it was shed that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We ask you to sanctify this wine and the partakers that we may all be together as one in you. We love you and we thank you and we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Come morning, I walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected. And I question, oh Father, how long? We all get to that sometime, don't we? Then I'll take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory before me. You know, thinking this morning of what Brother Cesar said to Sister Tanisha there, it was about 2 years ago when he talked to her and, you know, said, just give your heart to the Lord. You know, you might not have understood his wordings or what he said about it, but he said, you don't have to go to church. That's what everybody thinks. You got to go to church. No, you got to go to God first and then go to church. That's automatic, see. And see, but he said, you get together with God, and you see, when you come to church, it just stirs up what's within you that God has done the work in you. But she came up here to interpret for someone, having no thoughts of what, you know, had her pants on, had her things, no thoughts of maybe her coming here all the time, but yet God just working it all out, just making it. And about that time, Brother Alves decides he's going back to Brazil, you know. But Sister Tanisha, she just stayed here, you know, and what? She just kept coming to church. Well, ever what she went in her bedroom and found, you know, or wherever she went, see, all we're trying to do is just enhance that and just stir it up a little in the Lord, you know. And then for her to come this morning, and I remembered it when she was here because, you know, doing that, I remembered what I had told her. I said, you know, one of these days you may be interpreting for us. You know, we'll get Brother Cesar and them over here or whatever, you know. You know, I didn't think it would ever take place. And she probably thought it would never take place. But it did. And it all for the glory of the Lord. And he just makes it manifest. And gets everything in the correct order, right? So we believe it. We thank God for the way he does things because he does it in mysterious ways. Sister Milka, we laugh and talk about her, that how that her mom and daddy sent her over to America to get away from the message that she was hearing. Well, she began to hear about it there and was doing. And there she comes over here just crying like everything. Just, Lord, my family don't want me and you don't want me because I had the message over there, you know. And he just guiding her along. There was Sister Hill just sitting there in the same little place they worked at. And, you know, Sister Hill began to tell her about it. So she tries the churches, you know. And then she says, well, you know, is there another one? Well, yeah, there's one up Lula. Well, she just came in and just right in among us, you know. Letting God make himself manifest. Amen. He works truly in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. And he's going to have his way. We may not agree with it a lot of times, but he's going to have his way. And he's going to bring us to the right place. It may take a long ways of going, but he's not concerned, is he? I never read anywhere that God had any heart troubles or anything like that. He's got faith and believing, you know. And his children have faith too. Let's all partake together. You can be seated for a moment if you want to. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures to John, 13th chapter. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given unto you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's just stand together and be dismissed, and the sisters can go downstairs and everything. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day that we live. We thank you for the word that we've heard in our day. And be as our brother said this morning about it, that we may be that made manifest upon the earth. You promised it, so we believe it. Have your way now. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us and just guide us. Bless, Lord, as we go on through the furtherment of the foot washing and all this. Take care of everybody. Then give everybody a safe journey home. Lord, we pray when we know that Brother Cesar is on his way, maybe by now going back towards Brazil. Give him a safe journey and just take care of him and let your light shine wherever he would go. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.